Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a pleasant Friday afternoon to everybody, and welcome to Fans in the Pro, typically a preview show for the Saints anyway, a preview show for the rest of the weekend in football, but this is going to be a result-driven show, at least where the Saints are concerned, and not a pleasant one, I'm afraid, as they fall to Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos 33-10. A late touchdown for the Saints gets it from 33-3. And now they've got 10 days off to first off, get healthy. As healthy as you can be. But initially, the news is going to be not good for Paulson Adebo, and that's just tough.
Yeah, you kind of knew that, though, last night as well. Once you saw or heard what the actual injury was, it was intriguing that the doctors were doing a stability test on the knee. And basically, you want to rule out the ACL. And that's kind of what I saw initially. But when Paulson couldn't kind of get up, you knew it was probably a little bit worse. And then one of the second indicators is the air cast. So when you bring that out, it's nothing good because they want to stabilize it as best as possible, but I'll obviously try to limit the pain.
Somebody asked me that. I don't mean to interrupt you, but somebody asked me that today is how painful is it? You know, are they giving him anything for the pain right away? And the stabilizer keeps it from moving because that is painful, right?
It's very painful, and no, they're not giving him anything right away.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably didn't get any medicine until he got in the ambulance.
Right.
Which is probably 30, 45 minutes later.
Right.
So outside of that, it's the adrenaline and shock. And you're hurting. I mean, even when they come out and they get you in the locker room, you know, it's, hey, I got to get you calm. I got to get, you know, you out the pads. And a lot of times they're cutting.
I was going to say, that can't be fun either.
They're cutting.
Just cut it right off.
Some of those, that uniform, it's not, hey, let's take this pants leg off. And they're cutting it. We're cutting it completely off. We'll try to get your shoulder pads off of you, but sometimes they have to cut that as well. And, you know, because a lot of times for players, it's almost taped on. The jersey is taped on. And so now
it
takes.
They can't grab at it, right?
They can't grab at it.
Yeah.
And I need a little assistance to put it on. I'm probably going to need some assistance to pull it off. But for Paulson, a young man that, look, I know we can talk about all the injury. I mean, the penalties and, you know, the negative part. But he was in a position to be able to – he's a free agent. So, you know, whether there was soft conversations, whether there were intense conversations, whatever they may be, all of that stops. And I don't want to say completely, but it goes from expecting the payday to I'm on a recovery standpoint now. He will have to change from a mentality standpoint. He will have to use the injury now to kind of fuel himself. My whole goal is to get back. And I don't want to get back to the level I was. I want to get better. That's the mindset that he will have to have. And it's for him, it's probably a 1 year. prove it situation. And I say that just because, yeah, any team, whether it's the Saints or any team, will give you a long term, but it won't be what you want.
Right.
At this point,
backloaded, long term backloaded.
Even not even
knowing
backloaded.
They're not going to get, you know, probably get to it.
There you go. Yeah. And so, as the player that's coming off injury, I want to show that, hey, I am back. So he's got a long process, and man, you hate that for him because he's and I call him a kid. He's obviously a grown man. He's a really good kid. He's a really good kid. He works hard. You know, he's not one that's going to be. I don't want to say fussy with a coach. He may, you know, he has have questions when something's not working, but he's a player that was doing it the right way. And then for a corner to come up and tackle, I think we talked about it on the show that he was one of the leaders in tackles on your squad. I mean, that normally doesn't happen for a corner, but man, it's a tough injury. And we saw it live. We thought it was like, hey, you know, maybe he got dinged on the shoulder, hitting the ground. Never would I have guessed that, oh, broken femur.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it, you know, at some point we'll find out what area of the femur, because I think there's a couple different places that you can fracture it, break it, whatever it may be, whatever the correct terminology is. But so far we don't know that yet. I don't know if that changes the rehab process, but I know it's a long one regardless.
No, it's tough. I do know because I was the same thing. I couldn't see it. And, you know, they showed a replay. I did talk to somebody who was in a different booth where they were able to almost like slow it down frame by frame. And you could see it significantly, you know, what had happened. It was just a surprise to me. And you're right. Third round pick out of Stanford. And he was, I won't say a gamble, but he had been hurt. Right. So they.
No, he sat out.
He sat out.
No, he sat out for COVID.
That's right. That's
he sat out. And
when
I mean,
he injured the year before. It had been a long time since
well,
he played.
He hadn't played, but right. That wasn't – I mean, it was basically for COVID. He said, I'm going to get ready to play as far as the NFL. And so didn't play for a long time. And it wasn't all injury. You know, it was really his choice. And he's a guy that also played receiver as well. And so, you know, that tells you kind of the athlete. He was a pretty good athlete. It wasn't like a guy that just we're going to put him at defensive back because he can't catch.
10 career interceptions, third round pick, and 21 out of Stanford. All right. So, I don't. We could talk a million of these stats, but in the end, it's going to begin with 225 net yards rushing. It was 150 in the first quarter and a half. So it wasn't piled it on at the end. It was consistent. Boom, boom, boom.
At one point, they had 100. Passing yards and 100 rushing yards.
Right, 102 exactly.
Yeah.
They had 204 exactly.
Yeah, and so right now the New Orleans Saints are getting beat in the trenches, whether you're talking about offense or defense. That's the problem. We can talk about, oh, well, you're missing this player. That all of that may be true. But whomever is out there, you are getting beat in the trenches.
So the question, obviously, offensively, we've talked a lot about the offensive line situation at – is when you look at the interior defensive line, Brian Brzee, Shepard, Ridgeway. Now, Colin Sanders was injured. Christian Boyd. I mean, is you know you can't not land anything on the middle, but have they kind of maybe not have performed as well as they needed to?
Well, I got to probably lump the defensive ends in there as well.
Okay.
I mean, because teams are getting outside on you, you're losing the edge. And not to say that – and here's where the problem starts to come in. And Coach Allen kind of alluded to it. It's got to be a team effort, defense. Because here's the thing, Mike. I can do my job, and you don't do your job. And now when you don't do your job, it exposes the whole left side. And we're just using the left side as an example. But if I'm the defensive end on this play – and my job is not to hold the edge, or if I do hold the edge, the linebacker has to feel. Okay, maybe the defense is called for the linebacker not to feel. The safety has to feel. Okay, well, the safety feels, but guess what? He feels in the same gap as the linebacker feels. And now you're looking like, what are you doing? The back sees it. He gets to the free gap. Maybe it's the corner that has to feel. he doesn't feel. Last night I saw the Broncos, and I actually called them the Saints, when they ran it, they ran a wham play.
Yeah.
The Saints rarely run wham. But you can see the influence by the left guard, and this is no knock on Boyd, but you see him, he goes for the contact, he kind of stumbles. He stumbles. Well, when you look at that play, you've got a tight end that's coming in motion. He's going to be the wham guy. So he blocks it, the defensive end, which is, you know, probably, I think Boyd was a nose on that play. The three technique, he's reading and reacting, but he can't get inside. One linebacker feels. DeMario is watching his guy, which is actually the tight end that's coming across. He hesitates, shoots out. The A-gap is wide open. So you're hoping that either the backside linebacker can feel and scrape and get there. He can't get there. His angle, he's too flat. Now the safety has to come down. Well, guess what? It's plus 14, plus 16, plus 17, whatever it may be.
It was all that.
And so,
I think every one of those.
Yeah, and so you see that happens, and it almost just becomes, okay, I'm going to give you a lot of eye candy. I'm going to give you a lot of eye candy. The QB8. I mean, the QB8, all the quarterback is doing is he's reading. It's RPO run, and the quarterback has the fullback. I mean, the tight end, that's the wrapper. He comes around. He reads the defensive end. He's flat. Perfect. I'm going to pull it. Defensive end plays it perfect. Now the linebacker tries to scrape, takes a poor angle. There's no support because when he scrapes, he comes in far inside too far. Next thing you know, the safety has to make the tackle. It's 14 yards down the field.
Yeah.
The other one, QB sweep. You are short a man based off of the traffic and the trash because it's trips. Once no one, the edge, whether it was a corner, safety, whomever, once no one can set the edge, it's out the gate. Plus 30, plus 20, whatever it was.
That was 33, I think.
And actually, guess what? The quarterback stumbled. Quarterback stumbled on that play. And you end up bringing him down. But, I mean, it's stuff that you can fix, but guys have to be willing to fix it. And that's just defense. I haven't even started fussing about the offense.
Well, we'll take a break. We also got Aaron on hold. We will – not yet. But you've said it a couple of times, and you said it last night, and you said, watch, Mike, watch how well the Denver defensive linemen are moving down the line to make the tackles.
On outside plays, for us, we've got to do a better job of finishing, and this is offensively. You've got to do a better job of finishing. Because D linemen should not be able to run down the line of scrimmage. And they're the ones that's making the play on outside zone or toss. Both of them are outside plays. A few times the linebacker is able to get off and make the block. But too many times those defensive linemen are running down the field just side to side.
Right.
Not engaged. Engaged for a minute, but he's able to get off the block and he's able to make the tackle for 2 yards, 3 yard gains, if that. For us, when you go and look at it, we're not getting off of those blocks in those same situations. We're not getting off those blocks until now where the backside, the play has been strung out a little, and the backside should be getting there to make it, I call it trashy,
right.
The look for the back so it's not as clean. But it's clean. And now, guess what? He's on the second and third level.
Right. He's cut back because the defender wasn't there to make it look cloudy and muddy, right?
To muddy it up for him.
Right. Whew. All right. Take a break. 10 days until the Chargers. Lots of things to talk about. Lots of stuff to work about. We're going to talk also with Roman Harper a little later, the former Saints Super Bowl champ, SEC Network analyst, The Brian Kelly Show as well. Talk some Tulane, talk some Pelicans, and some college football. But we're back after this. Fans of the Pro, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to thank the great folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. I can't say the word salad. That should tell you a lot. MagazinePizza.com. And don't forget, Tiger fans, get ready for the Battle of the Golden Boot. LSU and the Razorbacks tomorrow in Arkansas. Our coverage here on WWL begins at 2 o'clock with Mike Dettillier and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. It's always great with Mike and Herb. Acme has 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's just more fun with seafood. Catch LSU pregame at 4, kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester at 6 p.m. Tigers against the Razorbacks. 10 hours of exciting LSU football tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock right here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. So, and it's football weather now. Now it's football weather. It's beautiful out there. I'm looking forward to it. Who's Ole Miss got this week? They off? What do they got?
They need to be off. Off.
Oh, they are. Are off. So we'll see. We'll talk more about LSU. We have Roman Harper coming up at 5:20, but we'll spend most of this first hour just kind of talking about the Saints. Five straight losses. Ironically, the last coach to have five straight losses was Sean Payton, and that was in 2021, and now it's Dennis Allen. And health-wise, we won't know really. You know, Salivary was hurt. I mean, there were a few others.
Salivary, basically, he's week to week.
Yeah.
They're not expecting Marshawn to be out long. So I don't know if you would consider that day-to-day or a week-to-week situation. And obviously, we just talked about Paulson. You probably will start to get a few guys back. The injured guys. So he's giving the players off this weekend. The injured guys, if you're injured, then obviously you have to stay here and rehab. He talked about Derek Carr starting to throw a little bit. And so he will kind of ramp up to see where he is, to see if he can go against the Chargers. And if not, you know, possibly against Carolina. You'll see that. And the other player is probably Taysom Hill, who's been a couple weeks as well. And then, you know, you were limited, then doubtful. So hopefully with the, you know, 10 days or so, he's well and he's able to go. And the other one would probably be Cesar Ruiz. With his knee as well, and he had the knee sleeve on, and so you know you're probably trying to prevent some type of swelling in that knee, and then the other would be Lucas Patrick. So you should get Lucas Patrick back. He was available, but probably on emergency basis because you put Kyle Hurgo in.
Right. Even when Salivary went out, you didn't put him in.
So. No, you didn't. And so he was probably available on emergency basis. So if you can get those two back, and the other one was Eric McCoy. Eric is not close yet, but I have seen Eric around the facility walking. You know, he was at the game, obviously.
That was Philly, right? Week three?
Yes.
Philly. First series, week three, so 4, 5, 6, 7, so, you know, Yeah, he's got to be getting closer.
Yeah, he's getting close.
Yeah.
He's getting close to being able to return, but I don't know if you get him back for the Chargers game.
Right.
And the other one would probably be Will Harris, your safety, and I think he went on IR. He may need another game before he can come off of IR, but he's going to be starting to get close for you as well. And then Chris Olave, you know, his will be depending on, obviously, the concussion protocol, being able to pass it and come out of it. And so for him, he would obviously be another critical piece that you very much need.
Let's take a couple of calls. People have been waiting and holding. We appreciate that. Aaron in Morgan City. Aaron, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas.
Well, I just want to say, man, I wish Deuce McAllister was still on this team. I remember that time a long time ago this guy had, I think he had like 8 or 9 games in a row with 100-yard rushing. And I just don't see the heart that a Deuce McAllister had when he was toting that rock. Sometimes you didn't have the line, man. But I tell you what, that other defense that was trying to tackle you, they knew Deuce McAllister was there. So many times I see the carriers, except for Taysom Hill, and poor Kamara, he has no help, man. So I would like the Saints to rally around Kamara and say, all right, guys, we're not doing that well. But I tell you what, when they read the stat line, they're going to have that fleur de lis because Alvin Kamara will be having the touches he needs to get 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing. Because we're going to put the Saints on the map because of old Deuce McAllister back in the day used to run it hard. Get your pants on, Deuce. They need you, man. They need you, man.
Aaron, I love it. I love it. By the way, you're right. It was 9 games. It's a franchise record. 9-game streak with 100-plus rushing yards.
Aaron, I love you, my friend, but we can't live there anymore. here's what I do say. The game is different, and I don't question the player's heart. You know, we can say that, oh, he's not emotional enough, but some guys, that's not who they are. Some guys wear their emotion on their sleeves, and some are, hey, watch my work. But here's the thing that I will say. There's a saying in football, the eye in the sky does not lie. So my only question to those guys, are you pleased with what you're putting on film? And that's not for me to answer. That's a personal question. That's an individual question that you have to answer. Because at the end of the day, whether it's Kubiak, whether it's Coach Allen, whomever, whether it's Coach Darren Rizzi, guess what they're going to do? They're going to turn on the film. And if the film, if you can't answer for the film, for how you're performing, then it's hard to argue with anything else. Now, we can talk about, oh, well, it didn't work because of this, or, you know, this guy missed this, or this guy. Look at your individual self. And you, it's grading it for yourself. Any player will tell you, and if he won't tell you, his coach will tell you, you are trying to play the perfect game. Guess what? It is impossible. But if you aren't chasing the perfect game, you are cheating yourself. Perfect game from everything from steps, distance, alignment, assignment, effort. Did I make the tackle? Did I hit the hole? Timing. Perfect. Grade it yourself.
You see the film. You don't need to have the coaches tell you.
Grade it yourself.
You get the all 22.
They get better than all 22. I mean, but grade it yourself.
Yeah.
And so just from that aspect, and that's really just holding yourself accountable. That's just really holding yourself accountable. And so for me, I can give you my opinion. And sometimes we know this, Mike. I can tell you exactly how that play was supposed to go. I hadn't been in the meeting rooms to understand the name, the call, but I can see steps. I can see steps. I can see design. And I may miss the name. Oh, you know, that used to be Spider. Well, guess what? I can tell gap protection. That's still the same. Well, how do you know? Look at the steps of the offensive lineman. Tell me what the back did. How many steps did the quarterback take? It's quick game. Was he 3? Was he 5? Was he 7? I mean, that's football. Defensively, where's the nose? Is it a 7? A wide 9? Where's he at? Where's the linebacker? Where's the safety filling? Is it quarters? 2-man? I mean, that's knowing football. So I can start to put the puzzle together fairly quick. But the one thing that the player has to be accountable for is his effort. And if he's not accountable for that, what are we doing?
We are going to take a quick break. Fans in the Pro talking about the Saints. We'll also talk SEC football, Roman Harper in the 5 o'clock hour. But be back after this. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. You're getting some good stuff today from the man. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, the Brian Kelly Show coming up at 6 o'clock. And what a great night for the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup at 7. High school football taking center stage, working our way into this cool weather that will continue. We're going to wrap up this hour kind of talking about the Saints. And you said this last night, and it's, you know, so, and again, this is Spencer Rattler and not Derek Carr. You know, Derek had said at the beginning of the season that if you're running this offense, this wide zone offense correctly, the first 5 steps or 4 or 5 steps the quarterback takes, you should not know whether it's a run or a pass. And last night you must have said 5 times that we're not a drop back passing team. And that's all they have been, right? Because you're not really running the offense that you kind of want to run.
Well, you know why? Because you're behind.
Yeah, you got
to. You're having to throw the football.
Right.
And so part of the issue is your tackles are still a work in progress. They're still a work in progress. And so if I can run the football, it takes pressure off of them having to drop back pass. But when we both have it, how many passes last night combined?
For the Saints?
For the Saints.
The Saints had 28 passes. Or 20 completions, 39 passes.
Yeah, 39 passes.
Right.
39 passes.
I think they had 40 the week before.
Yeah, so of those 39 passes, and we would have to go and look at it, I can tell you probably 10 of them were rollout, and the other 29 were pure drop-back passes. For the Saints to be where they want to be, they probably want that number to be about 17 drop-back passes. And everything else is off of action, play action.
Right.
The boots, your quarterbacks right now, the young kids, they do a great job of running the bootleg. They do a great job of the bootleg game. But when it comes to straight drop back passes, then now I've got to identify pressure. And I've seen the comments, or you hear the comments of, oh, your offensive line is terrible. No, it's not just your offensive line. Yes, there were pressures where you got beat inside from a guard standpoint, I think right guard, left guard, and then your left tackle. But for the most part, it was a free rusher that came. And so you've got to understand that he's hot. He is unblocked. That's not on the offensive line. I have got to throw the ball hot. And if he's supposed to be picked up, then it's an MA on somebody, whether it's the back or whomever. But just me looking at it with the naked eye in the moment, I see the back get out right now. So normally that tells me he didn't even look at his guy. So that should tell me he's hot. The guy off the edge comes. It's not the offensive line. That's the QB's guy. And he just didn't feel it. He didn't feel it. He didn't see it. And so now that's what I'm saying I saw happen last night. Now, I could be totally wrong where, no, the back should have went backside. But the way that he released tells me, because his head never turned.
Right.
How he released immediately, that's how you would release when you're hot. And you may have did it because he came from depth, but at least I would check. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would check to look to see if it's coming from there. So when it happens in that manner, I'm getting pressure. Everything has to speed up. Everything has to speed up. So if I'm not throwing the hot throw, I have to speed up my drop. I have to fade a little bit to buy a little time. That's only because I got pressure. I can't fade a little bit and buy a little time every time, because they may show pressure, and they did it a couple times on third down. They showed double A.
And then backed out.
And backed out and only brought four. There were times where they showed it and they only brought three. That was normally third and long. And so it takes reps.
Yeah.
It takes reps. And so whether
you got a game speeding up for a game, it's already fast for a young man.
That's what it is. And then when you take away the ability to run the football, now it's almost like, man, are you sure it's 11 guys out there? You know, it feels like
somebody count.
Yeah, it feels like it's 13 guys.
It does. It really does.
It feels like it's 13 guys out there. I mean, because a guy's coming from here, a guy's coming from here. I don't know if this guy's picked up. I don't trust if this guy's going to pick him up. And it just takes time.
Newman's been holding, and we'll get to Newman quickly, and then we'll take a break. So, Newman, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and myself, and you want to talk a little bit about the trenches.
Thank you guys for taking my call.
You bet. Hello. We appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. So, yes, we can hear you fine.
Oh, okay, on the first TD run from number 33, I noticed how the offensive linemen were grabbing the defensive linemen up around the shoulder pads and had nothing but jersey, and they were treating them like rag dolls. Is that a penalty or what? What can they not ground? I know they can't hook them with their arms or whatever, but these guys, they couldn't do anything. They just had them, it seemed like they had them off the ground, like they were just shaking them like rag dolls.
Yeah, you can grab them by the jersey. I mean, you can't hook them on the outside where they can't get loose. I mean, but you can grab them by the jersey and even, you know, to be able to turn your body. But once they try to disengage, you have to let him go. And even on that touchdown run, if I'm thinking about the first one that you're referring to, on that one, it looked like you had a game going on. And what I mean, it looked like your defensive tackle went outside, and I don't know if it was supposed to be a loop, the defensive end that was going to come back inside, or your linebacker both went outside. Whatever miscommunication happened, it happened immediately, because the guard, he took him easy. And what I mean took him was he allowed him to go outside because he knew that was where the back wanted to go. But if somebody vacates his area, somebody else has to feel. And we know it didn't feel because the gap was wide open.
It was an 8-yard touchdown by Javonte Williams, and really a very crucial moment. It was only 6-0 at that time, 7 minutes to play in the second quarter. So the Saints had kind of weathered the storm until that, and then the storm rolled over. We'll take a break, come back. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long's in the booth. We're back after this. WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, taking you up until the news at 5 o'clock, and we'll be with you until 6 o'clock. And do not forget, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozan, Alan Waldell, Coach Lou Valden, Lutcher, the Bulldogs, and E.D. White Cardinals. That's just one of the games tonight, and it's a beautiful weather for football. We'll be back in the second hour. We're going to talk to Roman Harper. Harp, as Deuce calls him. It's usually when I take a break and they start talking code because I don't know what they're talking about. But we're looking forward to talking to Roman at 5:20. But first, the news is next. You're listening to Fans in the Pro.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.